Good morning, WLLY listeners. This is Brother Amen Dave Moran. The Amen Corner is on the air again. We'll have some good singing and music, as well as some old-time preaching. Amen. You can listen to WLLY anywhere you want to by going to WLLYradio.com. And it's all one word, WLLYradio.com. And just follow the instructions. This program is part of my personal ministry to see God's Word glorified. If I can plant a seed in your heart or water a seed already there, I pray God will give the increase. To God be the glory. Amen. So here is today's program. Praise the Lord. This is Brother Dave Moran speaking, and we're going to go into some music right now. It's the Sapony Creek Players from years ago on Brother Bruce's program. We're going to open up with Using My Bible for a Roadmap, and then we'll have Prayer Bells of Heaven. The book of Romans, chapter 11, I'm going to begin at the first verse. Paul is speaking here. He says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not that this, what the scripture saith of Elias, how that he maketh intercession to God against Israel, when Elijah was running, he says, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. And even so, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. It says, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And Paul goes on here in verse 18, it said, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. He's talking about the Gentiles saying something against the Jews, because the Jewish have been broken off, and that the Gentiles might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, Paul says. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And what do we see? In other words, what I'm trying to bring out here is that God, he cast them off for a time, and they fell, and they didn't receive their Messiah. The word says he came unto his own received him not, but to those that received him he gave power to become the sons of God. So we see here what God did to Israel and said he would do to Israel. And I wonder, is this not happening to us? You know, if, like he said, boast not against those who were broken off. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. In other words, we need to be watchful and not boast ourselves against the Jews and say, well, we're better than they are, or we're a replacement. There's a lot of people that say that we're the replacement, and that Israel is no more, that God is never going to return to the Jews. But we don't know that. We according to this scripture, he will one day return to the Jews. If in 23 it says, and also if they abide not still in unbelief, they shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. In 26, and says, so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. In other words, God knows all about the things that's going on in Israel and the Jewish people and all that. God's not blind to those things. He knows all about them, but he's got a plan. He's got a plan to bring them all together. He's got a plan that all shall be saved. There'll be the wall of partition between the Gentiles and the Jews will be completely broken down and removed. One day we'll all be together serving God one day. So let's go from here. I want to go to the book of Isaiah chapter 3. Okay, Isaiah chapter 3 verse 1. It says, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff and the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water." In other words, God is punishing Israel and Jerusalem for what they've done. They worshipped the works of their own hands. They worshipped idols. And God calls it worshipping the works of their fingers. Are we not guilty of the same thing today? And he goes on in verse 2 and says, "The mighty man and the men of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient," he's going to remove them. Let's go back to 1 here. "For behold, the Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay of and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator." In other words, those that are crafty and they're able to build things and invent things, he's taking them away. Those that speak right, eloquent orators, good speakers, he's taking them away. "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them." In other words, their rulers are going to be stupid, and what we would say, they're going to be children shall be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. "And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient and the base, against the honorable." In other words, the dishonorable and the wicked are going to rise up against honorable people, and they'll say that good is evil and evil is good. And verse 6, it says, "When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, Thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand." It seems like America is going downhill. You know, we're wondering about the next election, what's going to happen. And on one side, the Democrats would threaten to riot, and I don't know all what they would do if Donald Trump gets in. And if the Democrats get in again and Biden wins the election, I don't know what we'll do. You know, I don't know where will it all end up. Here in verse 7, "In that day shall he swear," this is about the man, let this ruin be under thy hand. He says, "In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer." Let's see, "And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another," verse 5, "and every one by his neighbor, and the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, Thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. And in that day he shall swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people, for Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory." In other words, that's what we're doing today with Christianity. We're limiting Christianity from our government, from our schools, from almost every place, from the airwaves, as much as they can. And it says in verse 9, it says, "The shoe of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not." My goodness, that's today, if I've ever seen today, if I've ever read the story of Sodom. "Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous,
that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked! It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the ways of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead, he standeth to judge the people, and the Lord shall enter into judgment with the ancients of his people, and the princes thereof. And for ye have eaten up the vineyard, and spoiled the poor in your houses, and the spoil of the poor in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces, and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord of hosts? And it goes on to talk about the daughters of Zion being haughty and walking with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and make a tinkling with their feet. That sounds a lot like Hollywood, but we'll go on from here. So if we take Paul's warning here, we take Paul's warning to the Gentiles, and we can take what God said he would do to Jerusalem and to Israel, taking away the whole staff of bread, taking away the eloquent orator, and causing the children to rise up against the elderly, and the base against the honorable. All these things, you know, how can we tell that God is not doing the same thing to us today, to our modern society, not just the USA, but all over England, Europe? A lot of the countries are going through the same troubles, and God is punishing us, I believe, for our iniquity, for our sin, for refusing to hear his word, for refusing to follow him, for refusing to hear, and as he said in one place, for refusing to inquire at his temple. You know, we have to inquire at his temple, which is the word of God, which is we are the temple. You know, when we receive God, when we receive salvation into our hearts, we become that temple. And people are not inquiring. Like I said last week, the churches are empty. A lot of them are very empty. The pews are, anyway. There are very few. The power of the holy people is being scattered today. And who can tell? You know, maybe these things are happening because of a curse from God. Just like he said he would do to Israel, he's doing to us today. And what can we do about that? What can be the solution to this thing? We have to look in the Bible, where God tells us that we need to repent, that we need to do right, that we need to honor his word, that we need to read the word, find out his will for us, and we need to seek his temple, to seek his face, as David said in the Psalms. He said, my soul said, I will seek his face, you know. And it said, the Lord said unto him, seek ye my face. And he said, his soul said, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. That's what we need. We need the face of God. We need the wisdom of God. And this one place, I believe it's in the book of Joel, said, who can tell whether God will repent of those things that he's threatening to do to us and leave a blessing instead, you know, turn that curse into a blessing. We need, one thing we need in this world today is a blessing of God. And I can't really say God bless America. I've got to say God help America. God heal America. God put America in a place where they can be blessed. That's my prayer today to God, is to help us, in this country, to realize what's going on. It seems like half the country has gone off. Half the country is agreeing with every evil thing. They don't know why we have a constitution. They don't know why we have all those rules and the freedom of speech and freedom to bear arms They don't understand it. They don't understand it at all, or they refuse to understand why someone would want that, because the Constitution is in favor of us having property and protecting our property, being able to protect our property, to be able to stand up for our families. It's very family oriented. We succeed not because the government gives us something, but because of hard work. We put forth effort. We try to please people in the things we do and make, services that we provide, food that we cook. All those things are capitalist in their nature. I hate to get into this, but it's the way it is in this world today. It looks like communism is trying to take over, and socialism, and it's just gimme, gimme, gimme. And some people are like that with God. Only prayer that they make is gimme, gimme, gimme. But what can we do for Him? You know, what do we owe God? We owe God everything. We owe Him our life, our every single aspect of our life. We owe to Him. Every good thing comes from Him. How should we behave toward God? We ought to worship Him. We ought to honor Him. Paul said he wanted that the Word of God should be given free course and be glorified. You know, glorify the Word of God? Yes. You know who the Word of God is? Christ is the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh, and He dwelt among us. And He brought the Word from the Father. That was His mission. To bring the Word, to suffer for sin, yes, to give His life on Calvary, to rise again, to show that we can have life. Because He lives, we can live also, praise God. And that's one thing that we can look forward to. You know, all this foolishness in this world, one day it's just going to be a former thing. God says in Revelation, "Behold, I make all things new. All the former things shall pass away." Amen. And all things will become new. We'll have a new heaven even, and a new earth one day, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And there'll be no sin, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more suffering. Praise God. We'll just serve God and we'll do His will. It'll be just the most natural thing in the world. Praise God. It'll be the new world that God is going to produce. They all talk about the New World Order. Yes, there will be a New World Order, but it's not what they think. It's not going to be a world of sin and a world of the flesh, but it's going to be a spiritual world where righteousness dwells. Praise God. We're going to have good things one day. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the soul. He'll bring salvation into your heart. Jesus will make you whole, filled with the Spirit divine. Oh, how the glories will roll. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the soul. It's Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the soul. He'll bring salvation into your heart. Jesus will make you whole, filled with the Spirit divine. Oh, how the glories will roll. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the soul.
This has been the Amen Corner radio program with Dave Moran. This program is on the air each Saturday from 10:30 to 11. Thank you all for tuning in. If you're looking for a home church or a church to visit, come to our services here at Harbor Light Holiness Church on Highway 42 East, just about 2 miles from Wilson, on the left-hand side, just past Tarts Mill Road. Sunday service is at 10:30 a.m. and evening service is at 6 p.m. Our midweek service is at 7 p.m. on Tuesdays, so you can come and visit. Brother Irvin Lewis is our pastor. He'll be very happy to see you there.